Well, this is typically the time when I would say turn to a passage, and you can turn in your copy of the scriptures to the book of James. We're going to jump around the book of James today and review. And our hope at the end of the time together is to discuss this in what I believe would be its normal sense. In other words, this comes as a letter. It comes as something to be read in one sitting, to be taken as it is in one sitting. Of course, we like to go through a line at a time and talk about what he's saying there to us. But they would have got this letter from their pastor. They would have read it, passed it on to someone else for them to read as well. So it's good to cover it like that. And honestly, going over these notes this week and thinking about it, it'd be interesting to be able to do that more often, just take a whole book and talk about it. But I think the experience will be hopefully much more rich for us now, or richer for us, because we have went through line by line. We have kind of picked apart and looked at the different themes in there. So now we have a sense, a working sense of what James is saying. And now we can kind of hopefully just bring it all together and see the main point. And I think that's important. So let's pray together, and then we will dig right in. Lord, we are very thankful for the opportunity to look into your word together. The circumstances of the writing and receiving of this letter are humbling. Where we live in America, where we have such excess of all things, to realize that there are people who had lost everything because of their faith in Christ, even their homes and their families. They were scattered and suffering. People are mistreating and misusing them. And what a terrible, terrible thing humanly for us to think through. But we're thankful that we get to see your word to them and to us. What do you do when life gets hard? What do you do? Because life does. How do you respond? What would be your message to us in those times? And I just pray you'd help us to get that today. Help us to understand these truths in a whole way, that as they mesh together, and so that we can make good application in our lives and be better servants of you here, that you'd be glorified, that we would know you more at the end of the day. And so we just pray to that end. Just work in our hearts, change, open our minds, and change us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, James, every book of the Bible is always my favorite, but this is one of my favorites. It really is. And a couple of reasons. One, because God has used it in my life. It's a simple book. I'm kind of a simple person. Just tell me what you want me to know. James doesn't really beat around the bush a lot, right? And he's just right there, boldly in your face with what he's teaching. And it's very practical. And that's helpful for me as well. It's practical. Put some practice on. Here's what you do in life. And it's very good. It's a weird world that we live in. It's getting weirder, isn't it? Now, hopefully nobody gets mad at me on either side of the scale here, but it's really not any worse than it's ever been. You need to hear that today, all right? It's been bad since the fall. There have been sinners since the fall. I can imagine, using my sanctified imagination, that the time right before Noah's flood was probably a lot worse for morality than it is now. Their hearts were always, and their minds were always filled with violence all the time, is what God said about them. So, but it is a weird world, and it is, in our experience, there are things that God says are sinful and are hurtful are being celebrated now. And that's not even the worst part of the story in my mind. The worst part of the story of our world is how, as Paul said to Timothy, the hearts of people are growing cold. And I see that, of course, especially based on what I do, I see it more than maybe you have to, but I see it all the time in our world. And we began to, as a culture, exalt entertainment and diversion. And we have continued to, but we've began to really ramp up the effort to devalue people, relationships, families. It's just the way that the way of the world. It's going to get more difficult for us. The sort of knee-jerk reaction to our community is to buckle down on rules. Have you ever noticed that? That's kind of the human go-to, right? And I think the theological word we use for that is legalism. And I'll tell you more about that sometime in the future, but we saw this week another terrible example of what happens when your heart is bound up in the keeping of rules and legalism, just like the Pharisees. We had a prominent Christian minister now say that he does not believe in God this week. Just 2 days ago. Writer of good books, useful books, which of course won't use anymore, because who knows what spirit was leading the man at the time. But interesting, isn't it? And that's never going to be the answer, is it? And primarily, as we're going to look at it in James here, life gets difficult, doesn't it? It does. It does. What do you do? And as one of the things that we need to learn is that this life, you know what? I fumble around trying to help us understand it. I get that. And sometimes maybe I swing too far on the other side of the pendulum for your taste. Hey, deal with it. All right, I'm doing my best. But hear this today. Legalism is devoid of faith. It's devoid of faith. If you maximize living by the rules, you're going to create disciples that are following your rules. They're not following Jesus. We need to hear that. We have to live the life of faith. We have to learn to trust Christ. James would want us to get that. How are you going to get through trials? You're going to get through them by faith. That's the only way. When life gets hard, what are you going to do? Well, it's interesting the letter that James writes. It's not the letter that I would have wrote someone suffering. All right? It's not. And that's just the way I'm wired. I'm working on that, by the way. I'm working on being more bold. How do you like that? You may think I'm bold. I am not. I have to work on it. And bold, speaking the truth in love, of course. Bold in the right way, not just a fool. That's hard. But here's some of the things that we've looked at in James. The importance of interpersonal relationships in dealing with anger, the tongue, and conflicts. Normal life happens, doesn't it? We're going to have these kind of things in our life. You're going to be angry. People in your life are going to be angry. You're going to have to bridle your tongue. You're going to have conflicts. You need to learn how to deal with those things. Pride and humility. It's all over the human story. Pride. We have hearts bent up in pride. Maybe you don't think you do. You do. We're all at different places on the scale. We all express it differently. But we all are proud, and we have a tendency towards pride. And James is telling people that are suffering, work on humility. Interesting. Amen? Interesting. Work on humility. Humble yourself. And hear this. You know, the message could almost go like this. Man, I feel so low. I'm beat down. Humble yourself. Right? Wow. Pride and humility. God's will versus the self, the will of the self, world, and devil in James. We have enemies in this world. And we need to get learning to live by God's will and rejecting the things of the world, the self, and the devil. Genuine faith versus fruitless faith. Anybody can study the Bible. Know it inside and out. Anybody can. Hear this. Anybody can keep the rules. Oh, no, that's not true. Yeah, you can do it. You can toe the line if you think it's in your best self-interest. You can do it for a time. Genuine faith has something you can tell. You know, we're taught this in Nuthetic training. Don't ever say what I'm about to say. But it's really weird. maybe you've experienced this, maybe it's just me, but do you ever notice when you're around someone that you just know is a genuine Christian, you just know it? You ever notice that? You just do. There is a fellowship of the Spirit. You just know it. That's not a great test. The old heart is deceptive, right? But you know, I just never forget. We took a mission trip down to Kansas City, and Ulysses asked me, have you ever done cross-cultural ministries? And I thought, I'm going to Kansas City. It's not exactly Zimbabwe, you know. He was right. Their culture is radically different. It shouldn't be Midwest to Midwest, right? It just is. But we get there, and here's a whole church full of people, small church, even smaller than ours, full of people who don't look like me. I don't care. I am what I am, right? But I get there. What do you think we got? Immediately, fellowship of the Spirit. Immediately. Just connect. Bam. We just know each other. We worship the same God. It's just awesome, right? Different families, different cultural context. We use different, we live out by the, Cedar Rapids isn't so much, but we lived out on the farm at that time, you know, and they live in the inner city with people shooting with police behind, one block behind the church, you know, it's just a different world. Didn't matter. There's something you know about someone who is in Christ. And James is saying you can see the kind of fruits of that faith in a person's life. That's a better test. True wisdom versus false wisdom. A very striking comparison James gave us there. Patience and prayer. And, of course, sin and restoration, as we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Not the letter that I would have written to someone suffering. It's very interesting. God knows what we need. And sometimes, even when we're suffering, God's message to us is, here's why you're suffering. Here's the things you need to work on. Now, the book opens and ends talking about trials. And we could certainly step back and say, well, this is because they were in a severe trial or an affliction. That's legitimate, right? They really were. It was an actual specific incident where they had been scattered. However, the longer you live here, you get it. This life is full of trials, isn't it? It's full of things that are difficult. It's things that come in, you know, and you're having this week, this day, this year, and life is working, and you're going along, and there's all kinds of joy, and everything is coming together, and then all of a sudden, bam, out of nowhere, something happens. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face various trials. Hard circumstances seem to be a part of life. And that's one thing that we certainly have in common with these dear people that James wrote to. Life can be very difficult. From minor difficulties, I've noticed that as well. Sometimes things that are not at all difficult for me, right? It's like, what? Are incredibly difficult for someone else. Have you ever noticed that? And I'll never forget the greatest counsel a lady friend of mine told me once. It wasn't my wife, just a friend of ours. She said, toughen up. Really? Toughen up? That's not the best counsel. Sometimes it's different, isn't it? It's not hard for me, it's hard for you, it's hard for me, it's not hard for you. But life is full of these kind of things. To sometimes major life-changing problems and circumstances, life can be hard one way or another. Sometimes trials are just the result of living in a fallen world, sickness, death, all those different kinds of things. It might be worse to have a loved one die. Death is painful. I don't know. Sometimes it feels worse to be sick or the uncertainty of all of that. But life is full of that stuff. It can be difficult. Now, sin and sickness can be as James said, can be the result of someone sinning. Sometimes it's just because things, you know, I think that's sometimes one of the most eye-opening things to deal with people that are suffering in counseling. It's just to tell them, you know, maybe there's no because, right? We live in a broken world. You know, sometimes we're always trying to find the because. What happened? Who did this? Or what was going on? People die. We live in a broken world. We're not going to live forever. Hardships happen as part of this curse that we live under. We are not in heaven. We're not in heaven. And sometimes there is no if you want to label it a why. I mean, there is ultimately, but there's just not, well, this happened, this cause and effect thing. It's a broken world. It's just a result of being in a broken world. Sometimes it's other people's bad choices. Sometimes it's your bad choices. Sometimes it's just a result of this world being broken. Sometimes other people can make life very difficult for us. Other people, and we all do it. We all do it. And I would like to say from a lofty perspective, oh, I don't understand why we keep doing this. But I do. I do understand. We're a bunch of sinners. And we want our own way. And we don't love each other well. And we can, you know, some of the people that God has placed in our lives to be a pillar of love and strength and security and help can cause the worst hurt of all. And had the privilege of videotaping testimony of someone, how God is working their life, and it's it means more to me than it will to you when you hear it, because I know a lot of the details. But she's in the nursery right now, probably listening, and her name is Naomi. Hopefully you've met her, and we'll be showing her testimony within the next month, probably, here, of how God worked, and some of the people in her life that were there to love her hurt her a lot. And you're going to see that that's part of life. We have this, you have dishonored the poor. Other people, we can make it so hard on each other. You know, you have the power to make life hard or easy for those in the, who God has placed into your sphere. Notice this, the rich people who James is giving the warning to were taking advantage of them. That's humanity. Can you imagine a group of people losing virtually everything, right? I mean, put yourself in their shoes. They're at home. They're rejoicing. They're born again. They share everything. Life is good. Then some enemies come in and they scatter them all over, out of their homeland, out of their region. They lose businesses. They lose families. Families won't talk to them. No friends. No money. And they're scattered. And they're supposed to go and do what God called them to do. Go out and preach the gospel everywhere, not just here, right? And so they do that. And so they're hurting, they're already suffering. And it's like, can you see the ragtag caravan coming in? And they have no idea where their next meal is going to come from. And a human being looked at them, and instead of saying, whoa, there's a group of hurting people, let's help them. That's what you would hope for from humanity, right? They say, ooh, free labor. They take advantage of them. They use them. They don't pay them. They don't pay them enough. That's why life is difficult sometimes. Sometimes we just don't love each other well. That's an easy trap to fall into, isn't it? And especially when you're hurting or when things aren't going well. We tend to lash out and turn to the ones who we should be turning to and loving. We do. And part of that is because when God places us together in a relationship, we become so close, there is a risk there. You open yourself up to others because you have to be really, truly loved and loving. But with that comes the risk of that person also having the ability to cause harm. Let's take that seriously, amen? Let's do better. Let's love one another. Let's not be trials in people's lives. James deals with a lot of sins as well then. This all kind of comes together. Then we see, here's how they were responding. Sinful anger. He tells them, calls the worldness wickedness, what they were dealing with. Hypocrisy and sins of the tongue, which there's more of that. Ignoring the poor, not taking care of the poor. The evil of showing partiality and greed in that. Uncaring attitude in the body, sinful use of the tongue, envy and pride, every evil thing he mentions. I love that verse, by the way. Wars, fights, murders, treating God like a genie. I read that this morning. I said, why did I write that in there? But what, just like a pagan idol, basically, right? If I serve God, then he'll give me, you know, what I want. You ask to spend it on your own pleasures, is what James said there. making yourself God's enemy, sin of omission, grumbling against each other, making oaths and unconfessed sin. Think about this. This is why I said, this is not the letter that I would have written. Can you imagine hurting, in their context and all the bad things that have happened to you, and then all of a sudden you get this long list of, here's some stuff to work on. Can you imagine that? We're used to in America, one of the things that I noticed this morning, we're used to in America soft pedaling everything. We don't want to hurt anybody's delicate feelings. And hey, we're all there, right? We can be offended. The song that we sang today has said, for such a worm as I. Did you notice that you sang that today? Have you ever thought of yourself as a worm? Right? Now that could have some evolutionary context, but really just what do you mean? What the songwriter means is a lowly person. We've changed that. My version had such a sinner as I. Right? Now that shouldn't be nicer sounding, but I think that's why they did it. I remember a man telling I think it was a camp a couple of years ago, he said he led a song, Amazing Grace, Wretch, and someone got offended. It wasn't even what he spoke on, just the song offended someone. I'm not a wretch. Right? Look at this list of stuff. The sins that he told them to deal with in the middle of their trial and in their church. Get these things right. Work on these things. This is why life is difficult, because in a sense what's happening is you're living according to the flesh. You're not living by faith. You're not turning it over to God. You're not resting in Him, and you're not growing. That's the answer for dealing with trials. Work on the sinful tendencies of your own heart. You know, when you're suffering, does sinful anger make you feel better? No, right? Makes it worse. Then you feel even worse the next day because you've blown things up. Any of those things. Pride is often at the core of some of our problems. Sin, as we saw in James, is ultimately always a heart issue. It begins in the heart. Sin comes from the heart. Comes from inside of us. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. That whole long litany of sinful things that James wanted them to work on and look at are all proceeding out of the person, not from the outside of the person. And so problems, conflicts, sins grow from your desires. They're all heart issues, and they all are drawn by what we actually want as a conclusion. Sinful actions always lead to a deeper heart problem. That's something else. We talk about that so much here, you're probably tired of hearing it. But that's something we just got to wrap our minds around and work on. It's never, sometimes the guys in our association will use the word fruit and root. It's never asked just going around and picking off the sins that you have to work on, right? You have to get to why. You have to get down to the bottom of it, what you're wanting, what you're desiring in those situations, and make honoring God your desire. Real change has to be heart change. And that's what there's the one I was looking for. Yeah, I just got the out of order. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Your passions. Notice how he lays it out in a row. Your desire. And again, you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. It's all about what you want and what you don't get. And so how James would have us approach life then is change. And grapple with that a little bit today. You're hurting. What do you like to hear? Yeah. Hey, I've had something terrible in our life. Can we talk about it? Sure. You need to grow. Right? Now, I wouldn't go necessarily in that order, right? Let's listen, let's hear, grieve with those who grieve. But this is the message of James. The message of James is not some cushy, it's going to be okay thing. He's saying, take a look at your life and grow through this. My brothers, what do you do when you suffer? Count it all joy. Why? The testing of your faith produces patience. I'd like you to do a little self-examination this morning and think about it. The last time something happened to you that you didn't like, did you say, Praise God. It's so quiet in here. Not usually, right? Not usually. I don't know. You know, you have to really work on it to let that be your attitude, don't you? Praise God, hopefully sometimes. Right? Praise God. Hey, this is going to be okay. God's going to get us through that. Get us through it. It'll be okay. It'll work. But we have a tendency to some of those things on James's list, don't we? Pride, anger, wanting things our own way, praying wrongly. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, perseverance. It produces following Christ steadfastly. Let that steadfastness have its full effect. Whoa. Let it. Let God work in the middle of your difficult circumstances. He's doing something wonderful. I don't want to spoil it too much for you, but at the end of Naomi's testimony, she says, she makes one of the clearest and most wonderful faith statements you will ever hear. And I can't wait for you to hear that. It's awesome. Let the steadfastness have its full effect. Let it. Let God work. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God is up to something wonderful in your life, in your story, in the difficulties of your life, in the good and the hard times, everything. God is at work. Let Him. Let Him work. I'm struck by some of the things in Isaiah. When I remember the words of Jesus and He says things like this. Oh, Jerusalem, how many times I've wanted to just gather you in my arms like a mother hen and pull you into myself. And Jesus says something stunning. You were not willing. Let. Don't you love that word in here? God gives us a lot of choices in this life, doesn't He? Count it. It's something that we do. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect. Change and grow. Have an eternal perspective. Be patient. Trust in the Lord. Remember, as James said, be patient again. As James said, that we're a vapor here. Life is short. We only have a set amount of times. Patiently persevere with your mind set on heaven. And there are many of those really wonderful examples. That was my meditation this morning as I was just heartbroken over this man who says he doesn't even believe in God at all anymore. He says he's an atheist. And you have the examples of faithfulness in this book. Abraham, Rahab, Job, the prophets, the patient farmer. The Christian life is for the long haul. Be faithful. Be faithful, patiently persevere, set your mind on heaven and follow Christ until the day that you die. Something, you know, as you just think about what James is teaching us, think about that. Set your mind, really do that every day. Can I plead with you? Can I plead with myself in this? Don't let the shiny trinkets of this world, don't let the lures and desires for power and pleasure and prominence and whatever thing this world lures you with, focus your attention away from Christ. Don't do it. Because hear this, we have a real enemy. We have three. The devil, the flesh, and the world. And the enemy wants you destroyed. Persevere. Follow Christ. Follow Him well. Follow Him steadfastly. Follow Him by faith. Have an eternal perspective. This life is not all about this life. Humbly draw near to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. That's something I'm working on right now, just every day. Focusing my mind and making myself, okay, what's my day? First thing, draw near to God. What would God have me do today? Get into His Word. Talk to the Lord. Follow Christ. That's the most important thing to do. Humbly draw near to the Lord. Repent and change. And, of course, trust God in everything. Change. Be growing. Be more like Christ. Change how you relate to others. Very interesting in that part of change. We don't live in a bubble or a vacuum. How you relate to others is important. Have pure motives. Be peaceable, not contentious, not stirring up strife. I'm just going to go over this list again. It's important. Just let your mind go there. Think about it. Not contentious, not stirring up strife. Gentle, mild, or patient. Not trying to force your way on other people. Being willing to yield, to give in, and not set on my own way. Open to reason is the words that he uses there. You ever think about that? Open to reason. People can talk to you. You'll listen. You'll hear their perspective. You'll think about it. You might act on it, right? We get set sometimes. No, I know what's going on here. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. You need to change that. Not set on your own way. Full of mercy, willing to give, not looking out for number one. Without partiality, not showing favor for a reward. Without hypocrisy, no second motive, not manipulative, trying to get something while speaking a different message. That's very arrogant. That's very prideful. Gossip and slander have to be put off. No gossip, no slander. Do not speak evil against one another, but instead solve problems. Confess your sins to one another. Work on it. Solve problems and reconcile. Change. When life gets hard, you get patient. I think that's the message of much of James. When life gets hard, you get patient. Let God work. Follow Him. Change. Ask Him what He wants to do in your life. We all know. We've all heard the testimony. Most of us or all of us have experienced it. The greatest change happens in your life when the chips are down. When it's hard. When it's hot. When it's difficult. Little change happens when we're coasting through life and it's easy. So let God work, change. Because He is about that. He is about glorifying Himself and making you more like Christ. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing in your life right now. That's what He's doing when you can't understand how life can possibly ever work now after XYZ happened. After I got the diagnosis. After my family member died, after whatever you put in, you fill in the blank, whatever trial you face, God is up to something and it's His glory and your good. He's producing Christ-like characteristics in you. He's working that. We don't do that on our own. Producing perseverance. We consider those blessed who remain steadfast, right? God is working that. Let Him work. His glory, your good. You get to experience God's grace through difficulty. He gives more grace. Don't make that a small thing in your life. Sometimes we would rather experience peace or ease than the flood of God's grace that comes with difficulty. Isn't that true? Sometimes we would rather just take the peace. But God is going, He's working and He's going to give you a flood of His grace. Therefore, He gives more grace. You get that from sometimes difficulty. Humble yourselves before the Lord. He'll exalt you. You can experience more of God's grace. God can bless your life if you live His way. If you want God's grace, submit to God. Humble yourself. Let God do His work. You get assurance of salvation through trials as well. How you respond to trials shows what you believe. We've said Abraham. Can you imagine Abraham's story and his facing of that trial or that test, however you want to say it, that God had him. And then he said, yeah, I fully believe you, God, but no. That wouldn't be, Abraham would have to doubt whether he really believed what God said, right? He actually didn't, because he didn't act on it. When you are hurting and you do what God says, you should have assurance of salvation. When you follow God, when it's hard, your faith is real. How's that? Anybody can say they follow God, and anybody would follow God if he turned this life into heaven. They just would. And we're selfish. We're into self-preservation. We would just do it. But when you follow God, when it's hard, when it's difficult, that's one of the things that I hate bringing this up without telling you who it was or anything. You'll have to do some Googling. But one of the things he said was, everybody's acting like this was a big, hard thing. It was the easiest thing in the world. I'm really happy now. Well, duh. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, right? Hard, difficult is the way that leads to eternal life. Few that are that find it. When you follow God when it's hard, that shows, you know what? No, I'm going to follow Christ no matter what. Man, that encourages your faith. Gives you assurance of salvation. And in the end, what we're all about or what we're all after, God is greatly glorified. And think about this with me. The testimony of this church. Here they are scattered. Humanly we think they should have just went and did what he said in the first place. We wouldn't have done it either. But he scatters them to go out and preach the gospel across the known world. Here they are, and they're suffering, and they're out there being beaten up by this nasty old world. And James is encouraging them, and we believe, because we see the evidence, we see the fruit of it, that they took their pastor's word and began to change and to share the gospel and to live in the joy of their circumstance, even though it was very difficult. Think of the testimony that has the people around you and the glory that God gets. When your life is hard and you say, yeah, but God is greater. Yep, it's difficult. Anybody would suffer right now. But let me tell you about the God that is holding me up through this and getting me through it. God is greatly glorified. Let's pray. Well, God, you know better than any of us the difficulties of life, and even humanly, thinking of all that you suffered at the cross and the rejection of humanity, even how terrible. So we're thankful that you identify with us in our weakness. But God, we cry out to you because sometimes life is so difficult. Help us as we learn to trust you, as we learn to change, as we learn to let you work your work in our life through these difficulties. God, continue to glorify yourself in us. We may ask for the pressure to be off. We may ask you to stop. We may want a break at times. I guess in a sense, don't listen to us. Have your will. Work your way in us. Do what you would and you will. God, we trust you. We know you love us. And God, we know that you are good. And just pray that you would do what's best for us in all things and help us to get it. We love you. We love your work in our life. We love to be used of you. And God, whatever you want to bring into our lives, we're thankful for it. God, in this world is broken, and sometimes those things just come at us. We pray for your protection and your help in this craziness. God, thwart the plans of the enemy, and especially the deception that just turns people away from Christ. God, we're just... just plead with you today, God, keep us as only you can. Thank you that we know you do. In Jesus' name, amen.